and reconnected to our destiny so that we can expand and extend the kingdom of God upon the earth. What is the purpose of salvation? Each one of us needs to get a grip of this, that after we are saved, we have this incredible gift that has been poured out into our life. The gift of the Holy Spirit that teaches us, that comforts us, that leads us, that seals us for the day of redemption and empowers us. Empowers us. Jesus said that you will do greater things. I'm excited. We're going to be doing greater things. We are doing greater things in this hour. It's not just about what God will do in our lives, but through our lives. You are a king. You are a priest. You've been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. God has a destiny and a purpose for your life. It's not just about your career. It's not just about your job. There is more to it. And let me tell you this, it all begins with a vision. Today I'm talking about the power of a vision. A vision is a clear mental image of a future that is imparted to us by God. Vision is different from seeing. Seeing is what we view with our natural eyes. A vision is what we see with the eyes of our heart. There are many people who are walking around with perfect eyesight, but who are blind. And because they can't see, they're going around and around and around and around in circles. When God always wants to do something, He will say to you, see, look, behold. When He spoke to Abraham about all that He wanted to do in Abraham's life, what did He say? Look. Look at the stars in the sky. Look at how many they are. Can you even count them? So shall your descendants be. Look at the grains of sand upon the ground. And there were a lot. Abraham was living in a desert, y'all. For miles and miles, all he could see was sand, and all he could see was stars. And he said, so shall your descendants be. When Lot was removed from his life, God said to Abraham, lift up your eyes. And as far as you can see, look to the north, look to the south, look to the east, look to the west. As far as you can see, I will give it to you as an inheritance. You don't have to walk it. You may not have the strength to reach its miles, but if you can see it, I will make it happen. What do you see? What is the vision that God has given to you? God wants to give you a greater vision. And let me tell you this, too long, Satan has used guilt. He has used insecurity. He has used fear to keep you from fulfilling your call. But today I declare over you that God has not given you a spirit of fear, but He has given you love. He has given you power, and He has given you a sound mind. And today I declare that He will impart into your spirit a fresh vision, a greater revelation of what is to come, and it will burst forth in your spirit and give you life. Come on, say good amen. Some of us have used to have a vision for our life, but it's grown dim. It's just become small, and it's become weak. And I want to stir that fire and that passion within you once again to rekindle the vision that God has for your life, because difficulties and storms have come against you and you have allowed that vision to grow dim. But let me tell you this, that God is faithful, and whatever He has said to you, whatever He has revealed to you, He will do it in good time, because God is not a man that He should lie. He's not a son of man that He should change His mind. If He has revealed this vision to you, He will bring it to pass. So hold on to that vision. Hold on in faith. Don't lose hope. The God of hope is in this place. And He is rekindling the vision within you. A man without vision is a man without a future. A man without a future will always return to his past. That's what P.K. Barnard said. A vision is a bridge between our present and our future. And when you have a vision, you'll be able to stay the course. You'll be able to be on target. You'll be able to reach the finishing line of your design, of your appointment, of your assignment. How did God finish? How did Jesus finish his mission well? For the joy set before him. He endured the cross. He scorned its shame. He right now sits at the right hand of the Father. Jesus had a vision. He saw what was ahead. He saw you sitting in this place. He saw me. He saw the church. He saw the many millions and billions of little Jesuses going out into the highways and the byways, into the jungles of Africa, going into the byways of every part of the world to bring the gospel, to bring freedom, to bring the love of God. Because of the joy he saw before him, he managed to endure the pain, the suffering, the humiliation of the cross. Jesus had a vision. Vision gives pain a purpose. When you're going to the gym, right? How many of you enjoy waking up at 5:30 in the morning to go and carry some weights? After the working till 6, 7 o'clock, I know some of you are going to the gym. We don't enjoy it, but we've got a vision. When you have a vision, you will endure the pain. You will push through. You will not give up. Vision gives pain a purpose. Those without vision spend their lives taking the path of least resistance. They try to avoid discomfort. You know, in our modern day technology, it's all about instant gratification, isn't it? Instant this, instant that. But vision gives purpose to the process. There is a process. There is a process to attaining what God has for you and what he has for me. And a process many times involves discomfort. It involves pain. But without vision, the pain becomes unbearable. It becomes pointless. Having a vision makes pain bearable, knowing that in due time, the vision will become a reality. Proverbs 19 verse 18 says, without vision, without prophetic insight, before a revelation of what is to come, it says the people perish. Another translation says the people cast off restraint. They become uncontrollable. They live their lives however they want to. They be loose living. They run wild. But the flip side of this, if you turn the scripture around, you would see where there is vision, then the people live. Right? The people thrive. They become fruitful. They grow. Now I pray that God will give you fresh revelation today. A vision for your life. A vision for the ministry that he has put you in. A vision for the ministry that he wants you to run and to do. A vision within your heart, and that you will have the tenacity, the endurance, and the patience to push through the obstacle, to push through the discomfort, to push through complacency, to push through your pain, to fulfill your God given assignment. For some of us, I want to say this, it's not the bad times that has thrown us off course, it's the good times that has thrown us off course. You think that you've arrived, but you haven't arrived. If you are still alive today, there is a God-given assignment with your name on it that you need to fulfill. Each of us has an assignment, and it begins with a vision from God. I'm going to talk to you today about how to receive a vision from God. Are you ready? Are you ready to receive? Amen. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father, I pray. Awaken our hearts. Establish your rulership and your reign in our lives, I ask. Out of your glorious riches, God, strengthen us. Even right now in this place with your power, in our innermost being, strengthen us, God. Give us a spirit of wisdom. Give us a spirit of revelation. Give us a spirit of discernment, oh God, that we may know you better. That we may know our lives better, who we are. That we would understand our circumstance and our situations, God. Make us fully alive to our destiny. This we ask. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. So we're going to look at the book of Habakkuk today. Habakkuk is an interesting book. It's only 3 chapters. It's a pretty easy read if you want to go home and check it out. Habakkuk is one of the shortest book in the Old Testament. And in this brief 3 chapters, you would see an amazing transformation in this prophet's life. You know, in the start of it, if you read chapter 1, Habakkuk is just pissed off. He's angry, he's upset with God, he's heartbroken. You know, the people of Judah has been sinning and they are unfaithful to God. There was destruction, there was violence, there was chaos, there was lawlessness. They were striving, they were in conflict. And he was so upset that God didn't do anything about it yet. He said, "What's going on, God?" You see in Habakkuk chapter 1, how long am I going to wait? How long am I going to cry out for help? Why aren't you listening to me? And God does reveal to Habakkuk. God does speak, and what he tells Habakkuk is he's not going to do things the way he thinks it's supposed to be done. He said, "What I'm going to do is I'm going to allow the Babylonians, the evil conquerors in those days," he said, "I'm going to allow them to invade Judah. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to punish Judah for their sins." And Habakkuk wasn't happy. "What? Those fellas, they're worse than us. What do you use them for?" He's all upset. He's still in argument with God. And although he's asking God all these questions, but really he's not looking for an answer. He's just venting. He's frustrated. He's angry. And his heart isn't in the right place. He's wrestling with God. And then this happens. In Habakkuk chapter 2, it says, Habakkuk says, "I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart." A rampart is a wall, a high defensive wall that circles either a city or a castle. So it's a high wall, a defensive wall. He says, "And I will watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected." So in the middle of his turmoil, Habakkuk says, "You know what? I'm going to climb up this wall and I'm going to wait on God and I'm going to watch to see what he will say. I'm tired of being tired. I'm sick of being sick. I'm fed up of being fed up." I don't know how many, is anybody in this place who feels that way? And so the first thing we need to do is to climb up higher. Is to climb up higher. Habakkuk set himself apart from the crowd, apart from the noise, and he climbed up to the top of the wall. When John had a revelation of Jesus, what does it say in John, in Revelation chapter 4? John says, "Then I looked and a door standing open in heaven, and the same voice I had heard before spoke to me like a trumpet blast. And the voice said, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must happen after this.' And instantly, I was in the spirit." Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, "Let's go. Let's go. Let's go." The door is Jesus, and through a relationship with him, there is an open heaven over you. There is an open heaven, and the Spirit of the Lord is hovering over. He's waiting for you to come up higher because he wants to reveal to you. He wants to give you a vision, a greater revelation of what is to come. You know, we've been bringing some of the more distinguished ladies and gentlemen up on a hike. How many of you have been on a hike before? How many of you enjoy hiking and see your hands? Yep. Wow, that's quite a number of people. Hiking is quite the thing now. And it's lovely, right, when you hike. I know it's tedious, it's tiring, sweating, mosquitoes. The girls like to make fun of me. I'm a putri lilin, it seems. When I go hiking, I come back with like 50 mosquito bites. So we love going hiking every now and then up to the mountains. And it's lovely. The air becomes clear. There's a stillness to it, right? And once you reach the pinnacle, you can see for miles and miles. You can see all around in the distance. You when you come up higher, there's something about coming up higher. This higher realm with him is not found in your place of comfort. You know, God could have revealed his vision to Habakkuk down in a low place. He is God after all. And reveal to Habakkuk whatever he wants to reveal, wherever. But God only revealed his vision to him in the high place. Elijah, God could have spoken to him and revealed himself to him in the desert when he was lying under that bush. But only when Elijah made the climb up the mountain was when God revealed to him in a still, small voice. God could have revealed himself to Moses, where the nation of Israel were at the bottom of the mountain. But only when Moses made the climb did he see God face to face. Peter, James, and John could have stayed with the rest of disciples at the foot of the mountain, but only when they made the climb did they see Jesus transfigured before them. Jesus could have stayed in that upper room with the rest of his disciples, but Jesus made the climb up to the Mount of Olives, where he received his strength and what he needed to face the cross. There's something about making the climb. Climb up higher, church. Climb up higher. There are things that God wants to reveal to you and to me. And let me tell you this. Thank God we don't have to climb up a mountain, literally, to meet with God these days. Although I would say we would be a lot healthier for that. Prayer corner will have less people to pray, be prayed for. So we don't have to climb up to a mountain. We don't have to go to the nation of Israel and pray in Jerusalem. So how do we make the climb? How do we come up to a higher level? This is the answer. By drawing near to God. By drawing near to Him. When you draw near to Him, you are coming up higher. Because His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. It is higher than ours. So to access that realm, to access His thoughts, to access His ways, we must climb higher. And we do it by drawing near. By drawing near. So how do we do this on a practical level? Okay, how do I draw near, Pastor Debbie? So this is what you need to do. Every morning, when you wake up, when your mind is still fresh, your body has been rested, spend time with God. Do these very simple three things. Worship, pray, read the Word. Worship. And when you worship, the atmosphere becomes clear. Like climbing up when you go on a hike. The air becomes clean, it becomes clearer, there is a stillness there. Whatever disturbances and heaviness begins to lift as you begin to look into the face of Jesus and you align yourself with His throne once again. Worship. And then begin to pray. Pray about whatever's on your heart. Don't to worry, oh, I must pray for the nation of Israel. I must pray for the American politics. I must pray. Just pray whatever's on your heart. Prayer removes obstacles in your way so that you can see further and see clearer. Read the Word. When you read the Word, the voice of God, the voice of the Holy Spirit becomes clearer within your heart. You're troubled, you're confused. There's so many voices, your husband telling you this lie, your mother-in-law telling you this lie. What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? Read the Word of God. And when you read, His voice becomes clear within your heart and within your mind. Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. God doesn't shout. He whispers. It's not about the volume. It's about proximity. Some of us are saying, God, talk louder, I cannot hear what you're saying. You need to draw nearer, come closer, and you will hear. He will reveal His Word, His plan, His destiny that He has for your life to you. When you climb higher, you are positioning yourself to hear from God, from like Habakkuk. And what does he say? He says, I will stand my watch. I will set myself on the rampart, and I will watch to see what He will say to me. I will watch to see what He will say. The second thing to do then is to see in order to hear. Notice He says, I'm going to watch to see what He will say to me. God's voice is revealed in His vision for your life. To hear from God is to see God, is to see yourself, is to see your circumstances through the eyes of God. When you spend time with God, God will give you images in your mind. It's called sanctified imagination. You're going to be seeing things in your mind. You're going to be seeing things over your family, over the church. It'll just be poop, like that. An entire complete picture, poop, dropped into your spirit. But really, me, pastor, I don't know, lah. Maybe y'all, lah, but not me, no. It's for all of us. 1 Corinthians 2:19, but as it is written, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us, not to me. He didn't say it's to me, it's to us, through his spirit. All of us have the spirit of God. Amen. Same spirit you have, the same spirit I have. For the spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. Now we have received, not the things of the world, but the spirit who is from God. Why? So that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. He wants us to know. He wants you to know what his plan is, what his vision is for your family, for your children, for your spouse, for your finances, for your future. So some of you may ask, but pastor, what if I see something, how I know it's from God? Maybe it's just me, leh. Maybe it's just my thoughts, leh. How do we know if it's from God? Well, his voice won't contradict his word. His voice won't contradict his word. And if you're still a young Christian, you're still growing in your walk, you still haven't had the discipline of spending time in reading the word, and you're still not sure, then speak to your leaders. Be in a connect group. Talk to your connect group leaders. Talk to one of the pastors and ask them, this is what I'm seeing. What do you think? What do you think God is saying to me? If you're seeing, you say, no, pastor, I see myself, married to my colleague, and you know, leaving my wife, she's such a nag, I tell you, but I'm being married to this colleague of mine, and we're doing ministry for the Lord, pastor. Is that from God? Whatever your reason may be, his voice will not contradict his word. So you need to know the word. Now, how do you know it's from God again? Because it's meant to build others up. Others up. It's not about you driving that brand, flashy Mercedes-Benz, which is awesome. God has no issues with that. None whatsoever. But the vision that he will give you is for others. The vision is like a prophecy into the future. It says in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 3, it says, but one who prophesies, meaning one who has a vision of the future, strengthens others, encourages them, comforts them. So your vision will not just be about just how awesome your life is going to be, but it's also going to be about how your life is going to make an impact and how it's going to be a blessing in the lives of others. His vision will also be bigger than your dreams. You know, when I was in Australia, when God spoke to me about coming back to Malaysia and starting a church, I tell you, I wrestled with it. I fought with him for 1 year. It's like, no way, God. No, not me. No, no, no. Not me, not me. It's too big. It's too scary. I cannot do it. You know, I'm not smart. I'm not intelligent. I cannot speak. All these excuses I gave God. No, 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 no. And when he gives you a vision, let me tell you, it's going to be scary. It's going to be bigger than your dreams. But let me tell you this, he made you. And he knows exactly what you need to do. There are things that are in your life, gifts that are in your life that you haven't yet tapped into. When you step into the call of God on your life, there is a grace that comes upon you to empower you to do what you need to do. What about the money, pastor? What about the finances? What about the children? Let me tell you, God will add all those things to you. You don't have to worry. The finances will come, the people will come, the resources will come. As you fulfill the vision that God has for your life. Amen? Are you ready to receive a vision? Let me tell you, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be the best thing that ever happened to you. I'm so glad I said yes to Jesus and that we took a step of faith and started this church because you guys are the best thing that ever happened to me. Besides getting married and having children and all that, yes. But really, I'm such a joy to be your pastor. It's such a wonderful thing. Amen? Amen. So we climb higher. We need to see in order to hear His voice. And this is something very practical. You need to write it down. This is important though. Write it down. It says here, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. The first part of accomplishing any vision is to take it from the unseen realm and bring it into the natural realm. And how you do it? By just writing it down. Write it down, draw a picture, put all the scriptures on it. Write down testimonies of people who've done this. You know, in Australia, we sat down. I remember Pastor Clarence and myself, when we were talking about starting this church, we wrote down, where we should start this church? What do you think? I think Subang lah. Subang, yeah, I think it's a good place. Wrote down Subang. When you think we should start this church? I remember we were sitting in our bed. We didn't even have a bed, okay? We were sleeping just on a mattress on the floor. That was how we were living when we were in Australia, studying in Bible college. And what do you think? I think we should serve your parents' church for 1 year. Then we will ask and, you know, ask them to release us. So we wrote it down. You got to write it down. Even now, the vision has expanded. It has grown. And now we're going into nations. And you know, now I have to make an appointment with my husband also. Very busy, you know, the man. Cannot talk about all these things in the house. Too stressed. So I must make an appointment to meet him in the office and write the vision down. So we're going to sit down again. End of November. Can't remember the date. And we're going to be writing the vision down. You need to put it down on paper. Amen? It pulls the dream that's in your spirit that no one can see but you into the visible world. So draw, write, and then make it plain on tablets. Put it somewhere that's visible. Put it in your phone where you can look at it often. Put it in a book. I have a book that's next to my computer when I do my work and everything is in there, write everything down. When I'm worshiping, when I'm praying, always have a book next to you because God's going to reveal things to you. Oh, yes, that's right. You know, all these things that you need to put it down on paper so that when you are able to write it down and then you're able to read it. Because you need to read it and reread it because you're not always going to feel motivated. In fact, a lot of time you're going to feel overwhelmed and discouraged. And so you need to see this vision before you constantly. For Habakkuk, what it meant was he meant to write the vision in big tablets so that people who are walking past could just see it and continue to keep running. For us, we're running in this race of life. The Bible says that this is a run. This is a marathon. And so in order to keep running, you need to have a vision and you need to have that vision down in a place that you can see and that you can read and reread. Next year, we're running. We are picking up speed. There's a new location that we're going to be investing into and you're going to be a part of it. For some of us, instead of running, you need to at least start walking. Take the necessary steps towards the vision that God has for your life. Some of us want to start a church. That's awesome. That's wonderful. But first start a connect group. Take the necessary steps. Learn to be faithful with the 10 that are in your hands. Pray for them, visit them, counsel them, blanja them tetare, sit and listen and counsel them. Then God will entrust more into your hands. Some of us want to make millions in the future. We want to be great businessmen. Well, we'll be faithful with the 500 in your hand. Are you saving? Are you investing? Are you giving? Are you being generous? with the 500, God will add to you when you know what it is to be faithful with what is in your hands. When God spoke to Moses and Moses was like, God, I can't do this. I mean, what? This is crazy. This is massive. I can't even speak well. And he said, well, how am I going to do this? What did God say? What's in your hand? So let me ask you this question. What's in your hand? What are you able to do in this season as you walk towards your destiny, as you walk towards the vision that God has for your life, for your ministry, for your family? Make the necessary steps towards it. Some of us want to get married next year. What does the Bible say about that? A man who finds a wife finds a good thing, amen, and finds favor from the Lord. Notice he doesn't say a man who finds a girl, a man who finds a woman. He says a man who finds a wife. You want to be a wife? You need to start acting as a wife now. Acting as a wife material now. You need to start acting as a good thing. And then you're going to get married. And the guys, you know, no, you don't escape as well. He says he who finds a wife finds favor from the Lord. You need to start walking in the favor of the Lord. And then you're going to meet your partner. You're going to start walking into your destiny. So take the necessary steps. And as you're doing so, speak it. Speak it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But in the end, it will speak and it will not lie. Speak the truth. Speak the word of the Lord. Words. Words, use them right and they'll move mountains. Use them wrong and it will cause your entire life to go up in smoke. Make no mistakes. Your words are meaningless. Your words are powerless. They have creative power. Just as God created the earth, created the heavens and the world with his words, you have the authority to do the same here on earth. Take control of your life by getting control of your tongue. Amen. Refuse to speak anything other than the word of God about your life, about your situation, and watch as everything you're believing for begins to come to pass. What does Mark chapter 11, what does Jesus say? I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says, not whatever he believes, whatever he thinks about, whatever he says, he will have. So climb higher, see to hear, write it, read it, walk it, speak it. And as you do these things, in the end, it says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. By the end, it will speak, it will not lie, though it tarries. Now, this is my assignment today. Though it tarries, though you got to wait on it, though it's delayed, though it hasn't arrived yet, wait for it. Because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Now, that sounds a bit like, you know, what's going on, Pastor? It will tarry, it will not tarry. What's with this confusion? It's a remarkable passage. If you study deeper, we are taught that we are not to deal with God in a limited manner. Why God? Why, Pastor? You know, God so slow, lah. Why is taking forever to do what I ask him, lah? Why? It's because God is God. Because God is God. And we cannot put him in a box. He is not a formula to be memorized. He is a person to be known. And when God gives us a vision for our future, we must always make room for hope. Why? Because let me tell you this. You got to know this. God doesn't immediately execute what he declares by his mouth. Let me tell you a little secret, okay? I'm going to whisper it. God is always on time, but he's usually late. That's the secret. He's always on time, but he's usually late. Don't believe me? Ask Abraham and Sarah. 25 years. I'm always like, no, Pastor, you know how old I am. Let me tell you, God can do in 1 year what people try to do for 20 years. If you will trust Him, God can accelerate whatever He needs to do in your life as you wait for Him. Don't believe me? Ask Joseph. 13 years he waited. In 1 day, God accelerated him to the throne of Egypt. Don't believe me? Ask Noah. In 1 day, the heavens poured out rain. And for 120 years, he was preparing the ark. And things, poof, began to happen. Moses waited for 40 years in the desert. David waited for 14 years, running around like a headless chicken in the wilderness, until he was finally crowned king. Boaz waited for his wife. Lazarus waited. How many of you know Lazarus waited? To a point where, like, you know, no more hope already. Died already. But Jesus came and He resurrected him. It's nothing that God cannot do. Amen. When the vision is late, don't be like Saul. Remember, Saul was waiting. He got fed up. Where, lad, his prophet Samuel? Waiting, didn't come. I'm just going to offer the sacrifice. It cost him the entire kingdom. Don't be like Abraham and Sarah, birthing Ishmaels instead of Isaacs into their life. Don't be like the nation of Israel who got tired of waiting for Abraham. Where is Abraham? He died already, like in the mountain. They brought out their gold, made a calf, and began to worship. Cost them their lives. And I get it. Waiting is hard. How many of you like waiting? Y'all need to pray for us. Pray for me, because I don't like waiting. I tell you what's even harder is waiting with the right attitude. Waiting with a smile on your face. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you what will happen when you wait. Your heart will be exposed. Why should I wait? Have you ever noticed this? People impatient waiting in line. Doesn't matter that 500 people also are waiting. But why should I wait? I'm going to squeeze my way to the front and get that ticket. Y'all wait till tomorrow comes. But I'm not going to wait. When we wait, our hearts exposed. Pride comes to the surface. The cracks in our character is seen. Impatience, bad temper. That's why Scripture says, though it tarries, wait. If it delays, you don't see anything that's happening, be patient. Patience, obedience. When He causes us to wait, He is working on our character. And this produces the only kind of worship He deserves. Not worship on good days, on the best of days, on the easy days, on the sembang days. No, that's not true worship. True worship is when we bring our minds, our hearts, our will, our emotion under the Lordship of Christ. And we remain firm in the persuasion that God cannot deceive and He cannot lie. And though He may seem to delay it, though He may tarry, though the answer isn't seen anywhere close, we will not be moved that God is God. And He deserves all our heart, all our worship, all our praise, and all our admiration. He is God and there is no other. He is the one who declares the end from the beginning, from the ancient times of things of old. Not yet done. He has already declared them. That is who our God is when He said it. And if He has said it, He will bring it to pass. Numbers 13 says, God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should change His mind. If He said it, He will do it. If He has spoken it, He will make it good. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down, as snow comes down from the heaven, it doesn't return up there. It waters the earth. It makes it bud. It makes it grow. It gives seed to the sower. It gives bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return void. It will accomplish what I please. Amen. It will prosper in the thing that I sent it to. Come on, let's give God praise. Let's God give God praise for His word. Let's give God praise for His nature. Let's give God praise for His faithfulness. Let's give Him praise for His character. He is holy. He is righteous and he will never deceive you. You can trust in his word. God is always on time, but he is often late. He works on a completely different time zone from you and me. You would agree? And when he speaks, there is always an implied contrast between the timing of when he speaks and its accomplishment. Though the Lord delays time longer than you hope, though day after day we seem to live on vain promises, let God have this honor from you, that you will be persuaded that he is true, that he cannot disappoint you, that he is faithful. Wait for the vision to come to pass. Wait for his power. Wait in complete trust. Remain quiet, resting on his word. Let all your thoughts be confined within this stronghold, that it is enough that God has spoken. It will surely come to pass. And the rest we shall put off till tomorrow. Amen. Amen. Can I ask the keyboardist to come up? Behold the proud, his soul is not upright within him, but the just shall live by faith. This journey began by faith. Faith and trust in the finished work of the cross. We complete this journey by faith. It is a journey of faith. Just bow your heads and close your eyes with me. I'm going to read a portion of scripture over you. And as I do, I pray that the Holy Spirit will refire you, will fill your heart with fresh vision, and that a vision for your life, maybe you've let it go, maybe it has grown dim, that it will rekindle today. In Hebrews chapter 6, in verse 13, in the Message version, it says this: when God made his promise to Abraham, he backed it all the way, putting his own reputation on the line. He said, I promise that I'll bless you with everything that I have. Bless and bless and bless. Abraham stuck it out and got everything that had been promised to him. When people make promises, they guarantee them by appeal to some authority above them, so that if there is any question that they'll make good on the promise, the authority will back them up. When God wanted to guarantee his promise, he gave his word. A rock solid guarantee. God cannot break his word. And because his word cannot change, the promise likewise is unchangeable. Can we say a good amen? Do you receive that this morning? His promise is unchangeable. His word cannot change. God will not break his word. It is a rock solid guarantee. And I want to encourage those of you who are disheartened today, discouraged in your heart and in your spirit, though it seems small, though it seems slow, though we can't see where this is going, stick to it. Abraham stuck to it. You'll get everything that God has promised. You'll get everything that he has said. Holy Spirit, I pray upon every heart, upon every life, upon every soul that is heavy, its burden is weary. Don't grow tired in waiting. Don't grow tired in waiting, for in due season you will reap. You will reap in joy all that you have sown in tears, if you will not give up. Don't give up. Holy Spirit, I pray, fill us with fresh vision. Open our eyes of our heart. Reveal what is ahead, what your plans are for our lives, what you have in store for us, the things that you have planned for us. Even before we were born, you wrote them all in a book. Reveal to us. that we will have the strength, the patience to endure, to see your kingdom come, to see your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Vision is powerful. Vision is here. I release it upon you in the name of Jesus. Let's stand to our feet.